Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, if you were concerned by the reports of a hostage situation at a school in our area during our newscast earlier in the hour, we can report that we're getting official word that that has been resolved. The hostage situation at the high school in Pine Plains has been resolved. The suspect has surrendered to the police, and there are no injuries. So good news from that hostage situation, according to official word. Now, New York State Senator Eric Schneiderman is with us now. He has introduced something called Ian's Law to stop health insurance companies from dropping coverage on whole classes of people. He joins us now to talk about that, plus the new dire warning from Governor Patterson about New York State running out of money before the end of the fiscal year and what he would like the legislature to do about it. Senator, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
Who's the Ian in Ian's Law?
Ian is Ian Pearl, who is a severely disabled man who has really emerged as a tremendous advocate for the rights of the disabled. He had an insurance policy. His parents are New Yorkers, although he now lives in South Florida, that covered all of his treatment. He has to live on a ventilator. He needs a lot of care. And the insurance company, which was barred by law from just dropping him because his care became expensive, dropped a group of policies that included his and then offered replacement policies to the folks that they dropped. But the replacement policies excluded the care he was using. So it was pretty clearly a pretext to get rid of Mr. Pearl. And when we started looking into this, we discovered that this is actually a problem that's not limited to one company or one individual, that insurers have been looking for ways to get rid of patients that cost them a lot of money, and the problem of using the pretext of switching lines of policies has become very severe. So we introduced Ian's Law, which essentially says you can change policies, but the folks that you throw off have the right to come into the insurance department and say, look, we can show this was a pretext, and they have to submit information about costs and profits in order for the insurance department to verify that this is just not a backdoor way of getting rid of folks at the moment they really need their insurance, after they've paid for it and when the costs start going up.
And listeners, if you want to see a picture of Ian, we have one on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So why not go even further and have a bill that stops them from dropping categories of people even without a single target? Don't they more often drop coverage for a procedure because it's costing them too much money, and then it'll cover everybody in the future to, it won't cover everybody in the future because they just want to get this procedure off their backs?
Well, they can try that, but there still is a market for policies that have broader coverage. I mean, if they're just reorganizing their health plans, and people have a chance to assess what coverage they're going to get for what level of premiums, that's just the market working. The problem comes, and the litigation that Mr. Pearl brought revealed internal documents showing that they actually were scanning through their lists of expensive patients and preparing what they called hit lists of people who they were really going to just try and figure out a way to get rid of. So it really is a very different problem than just having insurance companies say, you know what, we're just not going to cover long-term care anymore. That means there's another company that can offer policies for long-term care and fill that niche. This is a very different problem.
You're introducing this in the New York State Senate, but you did a lot of national media on this yesterday. Liz Benjamin in the Daily News tracked your odyssey from CNN's morning show to Keith Olbermann at night. So is Ian's Law breaking out as a national issue?
It is, and I think that it really struck a nerve because of a lot of anger that's out there about the way people feel that their insurance companies deal with them. And it's a problem across the country. We've passed our bill on to folks in other states. We've talked to our federal representatives about it. So I think this particular issue is going to be addressed, but it really did strike a nerve. And I think, look, that we're in the midst of this national healthcare debate. People are focused on the issue of how well private insurance actually fulfills the mandate to deliver quality, affordable health care to people. And I think there are a lot of people who feel that through this sort of a mechanism or others, the profit-seeking insurance companies have wronged them. And I think that's a lot of why this became such a big story.
And because people feel vulnerable, I think people feel, hey, this could happen to me. Who knows if I'm not going to get cancer or heart disease or whatever that's going to involve some complex treatment that the insurance companies are going to want to weasel out of in one way or the other. Have you been looking at the congressional health reform bills for how they would affect New York in particular?
Yes. It's a fast-moving target, but we've been monitoring as best we can what's going on in Washington, and we're hopeful that we'll get a comprehensive bill and that it won't do too much damage to states such as New York that have been relatively generous with our health care programs in the past.
Democratic Congressman Michael McMahon, of Staten Island and part of Brooklyn, was the only downstate Democrat to vote no on Saturday in the House. We were talking about this in our last segment, but one of his reasons was cuts in the House bill to what's called the disproportionate share payments, which compensate hospitals for costs for the uninsured and underinsured. He said New York hospitals would be hit particularly hard. Any opinion about that?
Well, I think I don't agree with the vote, but he's making a valid point, something that Senator Schumer, Senator Gillibrand, and others have raised. New York has a very high rate of people in poverty who seek help in hospitals. Our hospitals are great teaching hospitals. They're some of the best institutions in the world, but they also provide a lot of indigent care. And we have to be sure that as we draft a bill, we're not hurting the institutions that have been taking care of the most vulnerable for many, many years.
So of course, I think the bill, in theory, is supposed to provide coverage for everybody, so then there wouldn't need to be big subsidies to hospitals to take care of the uninsured.
Well, no, but coverage requires you to think through what level of payment will be provided for what service, how much credit you get for dealing with someone who is uninsured or underinsured. So it's a complicated process. I think the first draft or the bill that, if we can treat the House bill that just passed as a first draft, that draft needs some work so that we can see that states like New York are not going to be penalized. I'm very optimistic that our aggressive representatives in Washington are going to carry that message. I mean, there's no one you want advocating for you more than Chuck Schumer on an issue like this. So I think that the issue is joined. But I don't think that really, in and of itself, is a legitimate excuse for a no vote. But, you know, obviously, Congressman McMahon, who I have a great deal of respect for, and I disagree on quite a few issues.
State Senator Eric Schneiderman, my guest on WNYC, Democrat from Manhattan, who has introduced Ian's Law to stop insurance companies from dropping whole groups of people to get rid of one expensive patient. Governor Patterson, as you know, I presume you were there, had a special session of the legislature yesterday to warn of the dire financial condition of the state. And he called for immediate cuts to education and Medicaid so the state doesn't run out of money before the end of the fiscal year next April 1st. Here's a little bit of what the governor said.
Unless immediate action is taken, we will have challenges to our state's finances and to our cash flow in 4.5 weeks. Frankly, we are running out of money.
Your reaction, Senator, and I gather the legislature is reluctant, very much including the Senate, to go along with the cuts the governor is proposing, correct?
Well, I think that everyone acknowledges there have to be cuts. There, I think, is a view in both houses of the legislature that the governor's initial proposal proceeded with an axe rather than a scalpel. When you're doing mid-year cuts, you have to act with care. All of the fixed costs have been paid for. So, if, for example, you're cutting aid to school districts, the only place that they really can effectuate mid-year cuts is in the classroom. So we're trying to work with the governor, and there were negotiations all night last night to try and come up with a plan that mitigates the cuts but preserves essential health care and education services until we can come up with a more long-term plan, which we are working on already for the budgets for the next couple of years.
So what would an alternative to the cuts be in the middle of a fiscal year? Because as the governor explains it, the budget is April 1st to April 1st, and it assumes certain tax revenues will be collected during that period. But revenues are under projections right now, so the state will literally run out of money before April 1st if you don't either spend less, tax more, or borrow the difference. Are those the only choices?
Well, no. In fact, the governor in his own proposal has well over $1 billion of other actions taken for example, expanding a tax amnesty program, sweeping some pools of funds that are out there waiting to be spent for other purposes, funds for, and these are all good causes, but when you're in a fiscal crisis, this money becomes a target for a governor trying to close a budget gap, money that's sitting in Battery Park City Authority, money that's sitting in the Dormitory Authority. If we can get the Aqueduct Racetrack terminals up and running, that could produce $200 million. So there are other things that can be done, and we're looking at all of them. The governor proposed some. We proposed some. Everyone acknowledges there will be some cuts. The question is, how many do you make in health care? How do you make them in health care? How much of it comes out of home care as opposed to hospitals? How do you handle the schools in the middle of the year? And I think that as far as I can tell, although everyone's a little tired this morning, there was progress made last night. The Assembly, the Senate, and the governor have all dispatched their financial experts to put together a plan. And I think within the next day or so, we should have something.
Right.
But this is not to – I'm not disagreeing with the governor's essential assertion. He has done a good job of waving the flag and calling everyone's attention to the fact that we have a long-term economic problem, not even a fiscal crisis. This is an economic crisis. Our economy has turned down, and it's going to take us a few years to work our way back out of this.
We are just about out of time, but I want to sneak Michael in Greenwich in, who just called, because he's got an interesting perspective on Ian's law, I think, because he was a health insurance underwriter. Right, Michael?
Yes, that's correct.
And Michael, right to the point, because we only have about 30 seconds for you.
Okay, well, the practice of rewriting the policy, excluding a liability, a high liability, is very prevalent in small groups, meaning maybe 100 or less. The insurance broker, it will always go to the company and find out if there's any way to reduce the cost because he's competing with other brokers. While the information isn't supposed to be public, it's always possible to find out. The problem with your proposal, Senator, is that we don't put things in writing. And now that you've written the bill this way, we will never put things in writing. So you've actually established a safe harbor for this practice to remain prevalent.
Thank you. You're concerned about that?
No, because our bill requires insurance companies to produce information about the number of folks in a line of coverage, the profits, how much each of those people are producing them, and it gives the person who is affected the chance to come into the insurance department and say, look, in the absence of more evidence, you should find that this is a pretext. It actually empowers individuals like Ian Pearl to be able to challenge the elimination of a line. This is a brand new approach that's never been taken before. We're empowering folks to advocate for themselves and putting the burden on the insurance company to provide the data to demonstrate this is not a pretext. So I appreciate what he's saying, but I think we have addressed that problem, and I think that this is something that I predict a year from now is going to be national policy.
Well, they'd have to be able to find it if it's not in writing and figure out that it's going on, but let's hope that that'll happen. The special session also includes a gay marriage or marriage equality bill. Do you have the votes in the Senate?
I think we're very close. I think that at the end of the day, when we get the bill on the floor, I think more people will vote for it than people think. I think it's hard to look someone in the eye and say, I'm voting against equality, I'm voting against justice, and I think we have the votes.
At the end of what day? Is it today?
I would love for it to be today, but I think it is sometime soon. I don't know if we're getting it on the floor today, but it's something that has to happen
2009,
soon.
This vote?
Yes, I would think so.
Eric Schneiderman, Democratic New York State Senator from Manhattan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. In a minute, WNYC's Lisa Chow, who's been blogging the Bear Stearns trial. A verdict could come at any time. Stay with us.